to say it again. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms and grandmoms and great-grandmothers. And I have a...
Mothers-to-be.
Yes, praise the Lord. And I have a verse of Scripture for Mother's Day today. It's Proverbs 25:24 out of the New King James. And it says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Now, if you don't make mama happy, you know if mama ain't happy, there ain't nothing going to happen good in the house. So when you say Happy Mother's Day today, you better do something to make mama happy, because it ain't going to be pretty. And you better get your sleeping bag and head for the rooftop. And you know that's true. She'll follow you there and chase you right off the other side. Amen. So anyway, make mama happy today. Take her out to dinner, or buy her a diamond or something, you know, but do something good. Take her on a cruise. Oh, my. What's that?
I said at least give her a promise.
Yeah, one that you keep. Those are the best kind. A lot of people make promises, and then we know what happens with that. So, but that'll come up in our words teaching. Well, I guess we'll go with our opening scripture. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. These scriptures are going to go very much in... They're going to work together with other scriptures we're going to be looking at on the power of our words, what words are capable of doing, and the effects of our words, because many times we find ourselves in a mess and we can't figure out what we did, and it might not have been what we did at all. It might have been something we spoke weeks ago or months ago and spoke a curse over our own lives, and we didn't even realize we had done it. So that's why these teachings are going to be very important. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. And have it in the New Living Translation, whatever yours is. It isn't that much different. But it says... It asks us a question. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. That's Old King James. The New Living Translation says, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? And I like that, because... That is the question. I don't think that probably there's anyone in the house that wouldn't want to see that in your life. I mean, one of the things that happen when we get saved is that we have a living hope now that things are going to be much better, a better quality of life than anything we knew before we got saved. And some of us, that is so radically different than what our life was like before we were saved. And so... Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Only you can answer that question. If you want to end your life quicker or bring more chaos into your life or more trouble into your life, go ahead and speak all those negative things, living in the shadows of what other people spoke over your life when you were growing up, and stay there if that's what you want. But that's not the life that Jesus Christ died to give us. He said that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he has come that we have life and have it in abundance. And an abundance isn't always, but not excluding, material things. Wealth, possessions, those are all part of our life. But think about the spiritual aspects, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of gladness and thanksgiving. There's so many ways that the Lord prospers us by His Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us as born-again believers. That's, you know, I had this little phrase that came to me Friday night. I shared it with Tom, is that we're richer than we look. We really are. And one of the ways that this happens and maintains, it says, then keep your tongue from speaking. Because you see, if we speak something contrary to what God says about us, and Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or we shall have what we say. If we believe it when we say it, we're going to have it. That sets us up for some trouble if we don't learn to speak words or things in line with God's word. So you can see right here in just this little snippet that our words form our future. Our words form the quality of life that we're living in. They mean everything. That's why Jesus said, "My words are spirit in their life to those that find them." And so when we, it's like when we become Christians, we have to learn to speak all over again, because so many times before we were saved, we spoke a lot of things that most of us, out of a lack of knowledge, we didn't realize that those words create. We've all hurt somebody with our words. We've all been hurt by somebody with words. So they have a creative power. And so if you and I desire to have a life that is long and healthy and prosperous, learn some things not to say. And along this teaching, we're going to learn some scriptures to counteract those words of death that we've spoken over ourselves out of a lack of knowledge, for better words, in times past. We're going to learn to turn some situations around with the Word of God and make it part of your life. Don't just take it today and forget about it. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a living part of us, because we're going to, the first one we're going to talk about later is, "I tried it and it didn't work." Well, if you talk to me, I would say, "I tried it and it did." And so we're going to look at some scriptures that will help us to undo some of the things that we've spoken over our own lives or others have, so that we can be free to live a longer, more prosperous and blessed life, because that's what Jesus came to give us. God's into life and our good quality of life. So keep that in mind, and as we go through these, maybe write these down and come back to them at a future time. Look at your life and say, "Could I have said something better? Could I have done something better?" Without the guilt trip, remember, no, we can't get into condemnation if we've done things or spoke things that we maybe didn't understand what we were doing. And I said that from the outset, because the devil would just absolutely love to put a guilt trip on some of us for things that we've got ourselves into because of what we said or didn't say. So we just need to stand together against that as a body, that we can take this important teaching, and it really is important, and it can make a difference in the rest of the days and years that we have yet to live. So be truthful. Speak words that line up with God's word, because you're speaking life to your life in all aspects of life. Learn to speak words that will enhance that and improve that quality of life. And I say Huggy Break is very good. Go get one. Thank you. give thanks. Sometimes I think if that was the shortest prayer we had, thank you, Lord, would go a long ways. I want to continue on with our study on words. Tom, do you have that chart to pull up, please? Oh, there it is. Good. This is just so that if you didn't get to maybe copy all of those down last week, we can leave it up for a few minutes if you're interested in doing that. Otherwise, get the CDs of the service, or you can listen to them on the church website. Usually Tom has them posted by Monday or Tuesday, depending on how busy he is. And we're going to begin going through all of those little sayings that I spoke last week. I tried it and it didn't work for me. But some principles about words that I want to talk about even before we get into that. Words produce after their own kind. Did you ever notice that everything God created produced after its own kind? Every seed bears its own whatever genetic makeup is in that seed, that's what that seed will become. In other words, if you plant corn, don't expect radishes. Okay? If you plant cucumbers, more than likely you won't get tomatoes. Well, our words are like seeds. God's word is a seed. Jesus, in his parable of the sower and the seed, he was talking about those who sow, or those who preach, or those who proclaim, or those who speak God's word. It's like a seed that's planted in the heart of the hearer. And there's four kinds of hearts. And that's a different teaching, but the fact of the matter is the words that we speak are like seeds. And they're going to produce exactly what's in those words. And by that I mean if you keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, that's what you're going to have. If I were, as an example, after the time I got saved 30 years ago, if I kept saying, I'm a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic, and never said what God said I am after being saved, that's who I would always be. I would never get out of that mode. Because what have I done? I've cursed myself. That's who I used to be. That's what I used to do. That was my lifestyle. That was my nature. But when I got saved, I became, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I became a new creation in Christ. And that's so important, because if we keep speaking the same thing over and over and over about our lives, that's where we stay. We never get to go beyond that. And so words produce after their own kind, and if you continue speaking words of sickness, disease, defeat, all of those things over your life, that's what you're going to have in your life. Why? Because you've created them with your words. So, in order to make some changes, we need to change some things that we speak. And we're going to look at some of those things. Because what we say can open the door to the enemy. He's just waiting for us to start speaking words contrary to the Father's words, and that we give him the opportunity to make sure that those things come to pass in our lives. So going back to, I tried it and it didn't work for me. What do we do about that? I cannot tell you how many people along life's highway since I've got saved, that they got saved and 2 or 3 weeks into it, they said, well, I don't know how you guys do it. I tried it and it just isn't working out for me. And I'll tell you what happened. Number one, they just cursed any possibility of it working for them, because they believe in their heart that it isn't working for them. So that's what they speak. And then to cause even more problems, because they believe it isn't working for them, they go and they find other things and they try other things to see if those things will work. And generally what you're going to find is a person who says, I tried it and it didn't work. It's like tithing. You can't come and tithe once and not make it a lifestyle. It has to become a lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about. Words that change our lives need to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a daily practice, a daily part of our Christian walk. And most of the time, people are impatient. They want to see a quick answer. They want to go to a psychic and get all these psychic powers and have instant answers for everything. And the Word of God doesn't work that way. It has to be formed in the heart. It has to be real inside of you. And confession is the beginning of possession. When you start speaking God's promises over your life, they begin to manifest. They don't just happen all by themselves sometimes. You can believe in something, and more than likely it's going to come out of your mouth. You can tell where a person's heart is if you spend any time with them and listen to the words they speak. You can tell if this word is getting into them. See, it doesn't matter how much time we spend in the Word. The question is the Word getting into us? Because when the Word of God becomes a part of us, it needs to be like Jesus. The Word needs to become a part of us. And the Word does work. I can't imagine after 30 years if suddenly God's Word would stop working in my life. And so, help to counteract that. A verse of Scripture that might be helpful is Galatians 6:9. And I know my sweetie's downstairs with the kids, but this is one of hundreds of favorite scriptures, but it's very powerful truths that it brings. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Here's the for I tried it and it didn't work for me, because that's what we're after. If I'm telling you it isn't working and there needs to be a change, this is how we start implementing some changes. We're going to start saying different things. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So our confession needs to change about, I tried it and it didn't work. We might change it to something more in line with the Scripture. Up to this point, I haven't seen the fullness of what God wants to do in my life, but by faith, I'm going to continue. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to persevere. I know a lot of other believers, and faith works for them, therefore it's got to work for me. And so you begin to think differently about your faith, about your walk with the Lord. And it says, not being weary in well-doing. I'm going to keep doing the right things, even if maybe in the beginning I don't see a sudden change, but over the course of time, you're going to see things begin to change, because not only are you speaking right words about bringing change into a situation, but once it gets past your mind and into your spirit, into your heart, that's where you really start believing it, and it begins to happen for you. It does work. And it says, don't be weary. Don't get tired of something too quickly. Don't get impatient. Don't be looking for the microwave Christianity. I told you a lot. We look for microwave. God's into marinating. You know, and it's barbecue season now, and we're getting marinated steak tips and things like that to cook outside. And, you know, that takes a little bit longer because you got to soak whatever you're going to cook in that marinating sauce. And we need to let our minds be renewed to His Word, so we marinate our minds in His Word, so that when we face a situation, what words come out of our mouth? They're going to be His words. And those words are going to be life. See? And it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. There's going to come a time in your walk, in your life, where it's going to begin to produce fruit in your life. There's going to be a change that takes place. And I always remember this about a seed. For 15 days, I spent 2 hours every afternoon watering the new grass out there where the pine trees were. And do you know, for almost 15 of those days, I never saw a shoot of grass coming up out of there. And I thought, man, we just blew $100. Where's the grass? And I kept hearing this little voice, just be patient. It'll come. Day 15, sure enough, little shoots of grass started coming up. And more started coming up. And I learned something early in life about gardening and planting. Did you ever know that when you plant something, what's the first thing that grows from the seed?
Roots.
The what?
Roots.
The roots. That's right. So get this principle. If the Word of God produces after its own kind, it has to take root in our life before you start seeing outward fruit. That root is already developing inside of you. You don't have to dig up the dirt to see if it's growing. I know the cornfields are planted, and to this day, after living in Chester for so many years, the only thing I see out digging up the corn to see if it's growing are the crows. I never see the farmers go back and dig it all up and see if those seeds have germinated and the root began to go down. And it's the same with God's Word. It needs to take root on the inside of us. We can't take it callously and lightly. And so, give it time. Make it a lifestyle. Make it a practice, a daily practice. That's why it's important. Even if you don't have a lot of time in a day to read a lot of Scripture, maybe just take one or two verses and just think about them, mull them over, meditate on them. Keep a little notebook handy in your car or by your bed. Sometimes you might wake up in the night and suddenly you'll get a word from the Lord. You'll get an understanding, maybe a new meaning or a deeper depth of something that you've struggled with, and God will give you a word. That word means life. You take that word and you say, "Thank you, Lord," and you begin to apply it in your life. You begin to speak over your life with those words to bring changes for the better so that you don't get stuck in that same rut of everything's the same over and over and over and over. You can change that by how you speak and also your attitude. You gotta remember the seed factor. The root develops first, and if you got a good root, you'll have good fruit. See, and that's a good word, because we don't wanna speak quickly over a person's life and look at their life and say, "Well, they got saved 3 years ago. I don't see any fruit," and be judgmental and critical. We don't know the condition of the heart when the Word of God came. A lot of people have a stony heart. A lot of people have a heart of no depth. A lot of people let thistles and thorns grow up and choke out the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then there are those who just suddenly embrace it and go for it. And they seem to be growing faster than you that have been saved 20 years. You can take a new believer and shoot, they just shoot for the stars, because they took it with a childlike faith. And you saw them spurt forward in growth, and you say, "But I started 20 years before you. What are you doing?" You know, it's all in the condition of the heart and how you receive His Word. Do you really believe it? Do you take it to heart and learn and apply it to circumstances? So, just because you don't see any fruit yet, maybe in a person's life or not, what? And besides, who appointed us judges of fruit? We're not the fruit inspectors. Actually, the truth of the matter is God says you've been stamped with the seal of good housekeeping. You got the seal of the Holy Ghost on you. That means it's good fruit. And it may still be in the root stages down inside of you. Don't be quick to uproot it and give up before you see. And I really was thinking about this, watering that dirt every day. I just go out there barefoot and all I got was dirty feet. I didn't see anything happening. But I knew that if I kept watering it, there would be grass coming up. And the same thing with us. We need to water. We need to water those words. Wash our minds with the water of the Word, because we're told to renew our minds. And how do we do it? So that we don't be conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. God doesn't renew our minds. That's our responsibility. We renew our minds by putting God's Word in, so we start having God thoughts. We begin to see what God says about situations. And that's what we're after. We've heard what we say about it, but now let's hear what God says about it, and let's set ourselves in agreement with Him. Because He knows the end from the beginning. I could so wrongly judge a person or really make a serious, cause them to stumble by judging what I see, because I don't see the end. Now this thing about our kids messing up and all this and that. While there's so many promises in God's word about what God says about our kids, I'd rather speak those. And we're gonna look at stuff like that. So Galatians 6:9, give it some time. God's word said, don't give up. Be in it for the long haul. Don't look for a quick fix. Let that word take root down inside where it really matters. And I'll do one more for today, because I know there's some people that we need to pray for this morning. And not only that, but I also know I'm not deliberately trying to sabotage the work of the Holy Ghost and ending something a little sooner today, but I'm mindful and I'm respectful of what day it is and how important it is to a lot of you as moms and plans that you have later. And I want to make sure, because I'm here to serve you and to serve the Lord, and I serve the Lord by serving you. And I don't want to go so far that you just get all bogged down in these things. Take one or two at a time a week and look at the scriptures that we have to share those, because sometimes God can do a very quick work in a short amount of time. It isn't how long we speak, it's what we speak. So the next one, it's getting worse. This is a biggie with me, because I pray for a lot of people. I absolutely love to pray. There isn't one of you that I wouldn't walk nearly to the ends of the world to pray for you and to release my faith with you. But the thing that I hear often is, after I've prayed, and then I'll maybe wait 2 or 3 days, and it isn't long, and I'll hear, it's getting worse. And I'm a little bit puzzled by that, because I didn't pray for it to get worse. I didn't ask God to make it worse. It might be that there needs to be some scriptures that go with that, so that instead of saying it's getting worse, you might say what we prayed for and released our faith for hasn't yet manifested. But don't say it's getting worse, because it has to be better than it was. How can you release the anointing and the presence and the Holy Spirit of God into a situation and it continues to get worse? You can't mix God and worse at the same time. It's just not going to work. God's presence doesn't make anything worse. It makes it better. You might not see it manifest instantly, but it's going to get worse if you let it. If you keep saying it's getting worse, then what you've did is you've negated and wasted our prayer time, and you had no faith to release in the prayer, and you released more faith in the circumstances rather than what we released our faith together in prayer for. Romans 4:17. A little reference to Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. He goes way back. It's getting worse. This is where it has to do with our spiritual attitude, or our attitude about God's word. God had made a promise to Abraham, and he told him, basically, that he would be the father of many nations. And we're going to look at this a little bit more, but I just want to set the stage. Sarah's 90, Abraham's 100, never had any children. And the angel of the Lord comes to Abraham and Sarah and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And Sarah overheard that angel, and she was standing in the tent, and she laughed. And I would have too. I've been to a few nursing homes, and I've seen 90-year-old women and 100-year-old men, and I can't even imagine the thought of them getting together, hooking up, and having babies at that age. In the natural, that's a hard thing to grasp. But here's the reality of it. Look a little further. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. There is such a revelation in that little bit of scripture. Speak to those things that be not as though they were. In other words, if I kept telling Sam, we changed the color of that blue banner on the wall to red, and Sam would keep looking at it, looks blue to me, looks blue to me, looks blue to me, and forever he looked at it and it's still blue. But if you get the mindset of, okay, so it's red. From now on, when I come in, I'm going to see that as red. The only reason I know it's blue is because somebody told me that color was blue. But I'm going to start seeing it red. If you say it's red, then I'm going to start seeing it red. And it's the same thing with the word. When we look at a circumstance and we're praying about a circumstance, you need to see it already done. That's what faith is. Faith sees something already done. Look at Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. You know, Jairus came to Jesus and said, my daughter is lying home and she's dying. But come and lay your hands on her and she'll be healed. And the woman with the issue of blood came along. And she took some time with Jesus along the way. And being a father of children and when they were young, we were always very concerned about the health and well-being of our children. And if Bethany was at home dying and somebody else came up to me on my way there, if Jesus was on his way over there, I would have got upset and said, I got here first, dude. Back off. He came to me first. You have to wait. She's dying. He needs to be there first. That could have been a real easy attitude to get into, but we didn't see that. Jairus is still waiting. And finally, after the woman with the issue of blood gets her healing and a little brief conversation, then we see the ultimate end. After Jairus had spoken and released his faith, if you come and lay hands on her, she shall live. See, he spoke what he believed. She hadn't had hands laid on her yet. In all the natural senses, she was dying. Nothing had happened yet, but she's dying. But he spoke words of faith. If you come and lay hands on her, she'll live. Jairus said that. So what happens along the way after the woman with the issue of blood? Someone came from Jairus' house and he said, why trouble the master anymore? It's too late. It's over. She died. And Jairus could have gone into a livid fit and just got so angry, so distraught, and so upset. But you know what? Jesus heard those words. And he said, fear not. Only believe. And he went and raised her back to life. Just like Jairus' confession of faith already was. You see, that's so important that you don't, when you're prayed for or a situation in your home, I mean, there's so many aspects of life that you pray for or you get others to pray with you. We've been praying with Tyler and Emily about the house situation, for Marcia, for a car. We haven't seen that car for 3 months, but when it comes, I'm going to rejoice because I know it's coming. You're going to be astounded at the beautiful house that the Lord's going to provide for you, and it's not going to be late. It's going to be right when you have the need. You don't need it today. It'd be nice to have it today so you could see it. But this is how we change something around instead of speaking negatively, because you know, the enemy is waiting. I'm going to show you later where God's angels wait to hear the word of the Lord so that they can act on our behalf. But if we're not speaking God's word, our angels have nothing to work with. But demons do. Demons work in their spiritual beings, but they look for us to speak things contrary to God. They're waiting for us to do that just so that they can run out and make it happen. And I can just hear them. If you say it's getting worse, yes, you just wait till tomorrow. You think it's worse today, you wait till tomorrow. And this is serious. This is the serious side of it. Behind the scenes, going on in the spiritual realm. It's better to continue to stand no matter what things look like. We have to. If we're going to say that we're faith people, then how do you know you're saved? Because you heard the gospel, didn't you? Someone came to you with the gospel, and you put your faith in it, and you believed that if you confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins, if you said those words in prayer with someone, and that you believe that he rose from the dead on the third day, the next verse says, you will be saved. So you released your faith. The same faith that you got saved is the same faith that will change your circumstances. There's no difference. So, speak to those things that be not as though they are. And what happens is, you begin to act like it's so. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I'm not a drug addict anymore. That's who I used to be. A prostitute is no longer a prostitute. A beggar is no longer a beggar. A thief is no longer a thief. What happened? He died. When he got saved, he died. The old nature that controlled him or her, and they had no power and no control over those things. And then they got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now they have the power, now they have the authority, now they're walking in right standing with the Father, and they're enabled by God to walk free as a new creation. God made your spirit brand new. Now you have something new on the inside of you, so that you can take his word and begin to speak it and walk it out. It becomes a part of who you are. It's just like God. You can't separate God from his word. His word is good all the time, therefore God is good all the time. We are what our words are. If our word is no good, we're no good. You know, because people judge us by the words we speak. So these are important. Start speaking things as though they are. You know, I see that house already. I see that car already. Whenever I pray for you, I already see the manifestation, and that's why Barbara's scripture about Thanksgiving this morning was going to tie into this and giving thanks. The praise song we did, give thanks. Thank God even before you see the answer, because the answer is already in his word. It may not have, by faith, manifested in the physical yet from the spiritual, but it's on the way. And so you just continue to thank God. You don't have to keep asking him. You don't have to plead with him. You just start thanking him for it, because thanking him for it in advance already shows him you believe he's really going to do it. And why wouldn't he? So anyhow, when we pray for you this morning, those of you that want prayer, let's come at that with the attitude of, I see it already done. And those of you that have prayer needs, before I get to you, not that you're any less important, but we got some Bill and Ging and John and Araceli, and Francesca's going too, isn't she? Yes, we got a team leaving for the Philippines on Wednesday. They're leaving here Tuesday to Connecticut, but they're flying out on Wednesday. And if you'd come up, some of us would like to pray for you, for your journey, and speak words of life over that journey. We're going to use you to demonstrate this principle. You're looking at a long airplane ride, maybe two or three, maybe some time in the airport, and them hard airport seats. So we're going to speak that you're going to have the best flight that you've ever had, and you've been going a long time. That there's going to be a zeal, there's going to be an enthusiasm, there's going to be an excitement. You're going to see Mama, woohoo! Yeah! That's been a long time. And you know, and so your minds are going to be thinking about not so much the journey, but when you get there. See, that's the way this stuff works. I don't mind spending 37 hours going to India, because I know what's waiting for me when I get there. It's like Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There's always some unpleasantries in our faith walk. There's some unpleasant things that we have to deal with. But the deal is, don't get hung up on them and confess those. Start seeing what's going to happen when you get there. Start releasing your faith now for the wonderful time of fellowship that you're going to have with your brothers and your sisters and Francisca and all your friends and the people that you see at the hospital, the things that you do there. Go to the mayor's Bible study and open your mind up and give him the opportunity to show him who's boss. He loves to control that Bible study. So that's what I want to pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the doors of opportunity that you've opened to us from this fellowship to be able to go to foreign nations with the gospel. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so, Father, I just thank you that there are goers and there are senders. And we thank you that we all work together, that this gospel will be taken to the nations. And whether it's through the works that we do, the words that we speak, the Bibles and tracts that we give out, the prayers that we pray for others that are sick and hurting and all kinds of problems in their lives. By faith, Father, we see this journey as a pleasant journey. It won't be like the other ones. We just thank you that they will travel in comfort. We thank you for the aircraft. We thank you for the flight crews. We thank you for the cabin attendants. We thank you for the mechanics. Everything possible has already been done from before the foundation of the world, that your servants would go forth in victory and joy and gladness, and that they would not arrive wasted and burned out and fried from a long journey. But Father, you would supernaturally give them rest as they travel for the work that they will be doing when they arrive, and that it won't be tedious, it won't be laborious, it'll be a joy because they've already gone other times, and they will continue to sow into those things that have been planted and are growing in the lives of others. And we thank you that this journey indeed will be like a watered garden, fresh, refreshed, alive and thriving with good fruit and good growth. And we thank you, Father, for their excellent health. We thank you that no sickness and disease will come upon them. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them and upon them to keep them as they travel. We thank you, your Holy Spirit is already there, prepared the way for them. We thank you for excellent traveling conditions. We thank you for going through airport security with no hassles and problems with anything they carry or ship along in the cargo hold. We thank you that they go in your favor. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do. And we're excited about it. And we know we'll get emails and we'll hear their testimonies of how good you really are and the favor that you continue to show them. And we thank you that they'll not lack for any good thing, whether it's finances, comfortable beds to sleep in, rest there, free to do your will. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yowza. Woohoo! When do we leave? One more.